pray without ceasing, pray without giving up, and pray with tenacity, courage, and hope. And now we have the joyful noise. Thank you very much. That was very, very good and uplifting. We'll go to the call to worship. Called by God to the people of prayer, we gather today as people of prayer. Come and let us worship and pray together. In unison, let's have the opening prayer then. Mighty God, we come into your powerful presence with hopes in our hearts. May we pray with the same focus and strength with which you receive our prayers. Flow through our prayers and our worship this day that we may rediscover childlike trust, even as we mature in faith. Amen. Today's opening hymn, Jesus Paid It All.
Friends, would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that we can gather here, that we can be with one another, both near and far. God, bless each of us. Bless each of us as we reconnect with one another, as we listen to your words, as we feel your spirit. God, we give you thanks for birthdays and anniversaries, for weddings, for visitors, for all of those good and wonderful things that you have blessed us with. Lord, may they fill our hearts so that we may bless others. And God, we lift up those to you who we care for and are worried about. We lift up our prayers, which are too heavy to speak aloud. We ask for healing and for grace for those who need it. God, be with us. Help us in our weakness. Give us hope and strength. Let us not despair, but find goodness and light in the things that you have laid before us. God, bless us. Bless us today so that we may give grace from you to everyone we meet. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. And so, with the confidence of those who've been redeemed, I invite you to pray with us the prayer that Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. Hey kids, come on up.
Good morning, everyone. I've missed you guys. Yes, what do I have? What is this? Yeah, it's a nice carton. Ice cube tray, whatever you have. Right. How many of your guys' fridges and freezers make ice for you? Yeah, my fridge was made in the 70s. It doesn't do this. So, I get to use these things. I dumped out my ice this morning so I could bring it to show you. It's my favorite thing in my house. Do you guys like warm pop or cold pop? Cold neither. Pop? Neither. Oh, there's neithers. Okay, do you like cold drinks or hot drinks? Cold drinks, right? They're just better. Coffee is better cold. This is true. What happens? You're right. Frozen hot chocolate.
Hot chocolate's better warm.
We'll talk about that later. We'll discuss this later. There's frozen hot chocolate, my friends, and it's great. So, what happens if your fridge doesn't make ice cubes and you have to use one of these? You have to wait, right? You have to wait a while.
Yeah, you have to put water in this.
You have to put water in this. Freeze it, and then it right. Ice. Right. And it takes a while to freeze, right?
Yeah.
Like 5 minutes or like an hour. Right, right. You know, I didn't bring it, but we also have, like, these giant ice cubes. Those take, like, a whole day. Sorry, I just elbowed you. It takes, like, a whole day. I know. Are you guys patient?
No.
I'm not.
Kind of.
We have kind ofs. Did you say you are?
I'm not patient.
I'm not patient at all. I am not at all. Just take it out. That's right. Yes. See, I don't like to wait for things at all. We were waiting for flights all this past week, and it was awful. Everyone, I wanted to be on the plane. I wanted to be home. I did not want to have to, like, wait in the airport for, like, 3 hours, right? That's boring.
That's a lot of hours.
That's a lot of hours. I know. I could have made a whole tray of ice cubes.
More than one.
More than one. That's right. So, did you guys know that the Bible asks us to be patient?
No.
You didn't know that? I didn't know that either. But it does. It says it in like 3 different places. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, I know. What do you guys think we could do to try and... Do you want to hold it? What do you guys think we could do to try and be more patient people? You can take turns with it. Do you think while we're waiting for something, we could talk to God? Or we could dance around?
Color.
We could color? You can draw on your hands, right? You can spin. You can sing. I know that we have 3 singers up here. We have more singers over here. So, do you guys think we could ask God to help us be more patient?
Yes.
Right. Do you think he'll help us?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
I think he will. Do you think we should do that now? Can I see it? Thank you. There. Alrighty. Let's pray, friends. Hey, God, please help us become more patient so we can wait for the great things that you have planned. Amen.
Thank you, Addison. That was good. Today's New Testament comes from 2 Corinthians, book 5, chapter 5, excuse me, and verses 16 through 21. For now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we no longer know him that way. So, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Look, new things have come into being. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of counting their trespasses against them. Whoops, I skipped down. Reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So, as we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making this special appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, God made the one who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Friends, it was said this morning, there is an incredible amount of generosity in this church, whether you realize it or not. So thank you from all the ways that people bless us with their talents, to all the ways that people give to make this sanctuary beautiful, to all the ways that people put on ministries to help bless our community through the works of our hands. Friends, if you would like to partner with us in ministry today and you're in-house, we're passing around the plates, you're more than welcome to do that. There's ways to give online or via EFT and all of that good stuff. But thank you for all of the ways that you bless one another in our communities. And know that what you do with your time or your resources or your prayers does make a difference. So, at this time, we'll have our offering. Gracious Lord, thank you that you have blessed us. Even in the midst of times that are uncertain, God, we give you thanks. We know that your care, your providence, the ways that you make sure that there is enough is ever around us. So Lord, may our trust be in you. May our hearts and our hands be generous. May we bless those in our community and never lose sight of what you've called us to do and who you've called us to be. Lord, may our trust be in you. And may we help those in our world. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Friends, continue to stay standing if you would, and join us in our next hymn, My Hope is Built, up on the screens or on 368. Thank you. Friends, you may be seated. Our gospel today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. This is the gospel, according to Matthew. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, if my brother or sister sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, the Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But that same servant, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seized him by the throat and said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then this fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." The good news of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, Amen. Did you all know I get uncomfortable sometimes with the things that Jesus says in Scripture? You're all there too, aren't you? It was kind of in that last line, or that second to last line, right? I want to open this part of the Scripture up, because it took my breath away the first time I read it. I said, surely not. We're going to use language this strong to talk about something that we see every day. But before we get there, I want to give some insight into a couple terms that came up. Talents and denarii. Does anyone know how much? So those are both money, right? Those are both things that were used to pay, coins that were back in ancient times. Does anyone know how much a talent is worth? Any guesses at all? Depends on what source you read or what kind of scholarship you follow, but in the subnotes in my Bible, it says a talent is worth about 15 years worth of wages. Half your lifetime of working, unless you decide not to retire, 15 years worth of wages. Now I want to put this in perspective. In Scripture it said, one servant owed the master how many talents? 10,000 talents. Who in here is better at math than I am? Hint, it's probably most of you. How much money is that? More than you can probably pay back in your lifetime. How much is a denarii? Do you know? It's about a day's wage. So go ahead, if you get paid every other or twice a month, go ahead and take that divided by 15, and you've got just about how much a denarii would have been for you. And how many denarii did the other servant owe the first servant, who was a little less than merciful? 100. 100 denarii. 100 days worth of work. So I want to put this in perspective here a little bit before we jump into the real difficult stuff, because what we're talking about here is a parable. And I don't know if you've ever dealt with a parable before, you probably have, or really dissected and picked it apart, but a parable is supposed to be a little bit absurd,
Right? This is like the one where Jesus told, when you have 900 sheep and you lose one of them, what do you do? You go after the one, right? Well, how many of here have ever raised livestock before? You've got 99 sheep, right? Why do you need the other one? You've got enough to make ends meet. Just write it off on your taxes. Amen? Parables are absurd by nature because they make us think about those things that are tough and difficult to deal with. And a parable turns life on top of its head to show us that there is a better way. And sometimes parables are uncomfortable. And sometimes they poke parts of our hearts that we didn't think were as raw and tender as they are. So I'm going to be honest, friends, that second to last line took my breath away. The Lord turned his servant over to, in the New Revised Standard, it says to be tortured. In other passages, in other translations, it says to the torturers. What they're talking about here is the jailers, the people that would interrogate and try and get information out of prisoners. I'm told that prisons back in the day weren't quite as standard or regimented or regulated as they are today. Would you all believe that? Needless to say, though, but the question remains with me is, why is God allowing this? Why is this happening? As Methodists in our tradition, we believe that there's a certain amount of free will that happens. When you put your hand in a fire, what happens? You get burnt, right? When you start to pull on a dog's tail, what happens? Right? I wonder, again, I'm not here to defend God, but I wonder, as we talk about forgiveness, is there something about our relationships and the ways that we butt heads or hurt one another that is just a natural consequence of our actions? See, because that's the uncomfortable truth that Christ is trying to tell here. There was a servant who owed way more lifetimes worth of money than they could repay. And they were not merciful to someone who owed him less than a year's worth of work. How many of you have ever been in a situation like that? You are just angry at someone who did you harm, who betrayed your trust, who really just got on your bad side. You didn't really want to forgive them all that much. Anyone been there before? I know, right? That's an uncomfortable thing to admit to. But it's okay. How many of you are human here today? This is a natural thing about what it means to be human, to be built with flesh and blood, wrapped around a soul, to try and have relationships with one another. I've told you all before, I'll tell it till the day I die, my sister and I, my youngest, my wonderful baby sister and I, would fight like cats and dogs when we were little. Would you believe that? No, certainly not Pastor Luke, and certainly not kids, right? Fight like cats and dogs. There was one year I was getting ready for RAGBRAI. I was in high school, and I had to be maybe 16, 17. Certainly old enough to know better, but certainly still had tons of hormones going through my body. So, man, when I was angry, it would be 0 to 60, just like that. And I remember one day, we were getting ready, and I couldn't find my helmet. I don't know if you know anything about getting on the road, but whenever you got to get on the road and you can't, does anyone's blood pressure boil like mine? So I saw my sister's helmet. It fit. It was the same size. It was going to be okay. So I went and grabbed it, threw it in the car, and had my friends in the van all there. We were ready to head out to Western Iowa. And my sister comes what's the word I'm looking for? Stomping out the door saying, "That's my helmet. You can't take that. You didn't ask me. I want it back." Now, in my mind, in my, remember, hormone-induced high school mind, what did I say? Some things I can't repeat up here at the front. But it's a snapshot, isn't it? It's a snapshot of what happens in life when people butt heads. And if we're honest with ourselves, I think we find that that happens all too often. But we're not necessarily talking about that part of it today. I want to talk about this other part, this whole forgiveness part. Because I did. I said sorry to my sister. I was in the wrong. But I don't know how long it took her to forgive me. Because remember, one of the best things that happened to my sister and I is that we started to live under separate roofs. Because I love my sister. I really do. But it's hard. It's hard living in the same house, isn't it? But Jesus says something here. He says, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, show my hand. And in his righteous anger at the injustice that happened, the Lord handed the unmerciful servant over to the own bitterness and grudges that bound him to be tortured by that. That's the uncomfortable truth, isn't it? What do grudges do to our hearts? They poison them. What does bitterness do to our souls? It binds them. Now, doesn't say here, I mean, it's a parable, right? It's a little bit like any example you give. You can poke holes into it, and I'm sure people came back and said, "Well, Jesus, what about? Well, Jesus, how about this? Well, what if we change the rules this way a little bit?" So we don't know. We don't know how long it took for the unmerciful servant to forgive the other servant's debt. But I would imagine at the time that that happened, that the ways that his soul was being ripped apart, the ways that he was being tortured inside, would have ceased nearly immediately. And that's the uncomfortable truth, isn't it? That at the beginning, it's real nice to hold on to that anger and that grudge and that frustration, but over time, it just becomes heavy, and it's a weight. See, the beautiful thing about our faith, what we have been taught, what we try and do our best to look like, this exact same thing happened, plays out on a spiritual and cosmic scale as well. How many of you are perfect? See, I need to start asking questions like that where the answer is no, because none of you are raising your hands, right? See, we all know that we mess up, that we make mistakes. We all know that life is messy. That's not necessarily the point. The point is this, that God does forgive us. And in fact, God was the first one to take the step. That in many ways, that forgiveness was surrounding us before we were even aware of it. It just took us the moment or the moment of awareness and clarity to realize that God does actually love us. And that forgiveness is there, no matter what. And when we're ready to take it and accept it, then the door is open and we get to come back home. That is the image of our faith. And it's a hard one, isn't it? It's a hard one to wrestle with. My uncle on my dad's side, I have not seen for 20 years, I think. See, as the story goes, and of course you know these family stories, you don't hear the whole, all of it, you only get a few sides of it, but as the story goes, there was a falling out between my dad and his brother. And it's been nearly 20 years since they've talked. I don't know what, that doesn't matter. Dad says he asked forgiveness, clearly. It didn't come. There's something strange about this dance that we do as people. There's something that's hard to wrestle with, hard to understand, and hard to have the courage to take the first step. Because no doubt, we've all been wrong sometimes, haven't we? Amen? Amen. And there's this thing called ego. We all have it. Amen? Amen. But at my wedding, when Sarah and I got married back in 2016, there was a beautiful surprise that happened. See, I haven't seen my uncle for 20 years, but that also means I haven't seen my cousins for 20 years as well. Except in 2016, both of my cousins from that side of the family showed up. I can't tell you how much joy filled my heart to see. I hadn't seen them in so long. And they're spread out in the country. I haven't seen them since. But just to know that there is hope and life and that there is something that can happen, even in the midst of broken families. See, this is what Paul talks about a little bit, that just as God forgave us, gave us the image of what it means to forgive and be forgiven, God also shows us what it means to reconcile, to come back together. In South Africa, there was a thing called apartheid. You probably all have heard about it if you're old enough. If you're not, don't worry, you'll get to it in school. But there were two, at least, religious leaders. It was Nelson Mandela, who was political but grew up Methodist. And then it was Desmond Tutu, who was the bishop of the Anglican Church down there. It's fascinated me, their responses, how they dealt with something so huge, so big, so seemingly, I don't know, insurmountable. What does it mean to actually reconcile? What does it mean to actually come back together, to make whole what once was broken? What's fascinating about those responses is, how many people does it take? Both, doesn't it? Because there's a moment where the one who transgressed realizes that they transgressed. And then they realize that I have to go now ask for what? Forgiveness. But then on the other side, right? This is a little bit what Jesus is talking about here today. On the other side, what has to happen? Probably the harder of the two things, isn't it? That forgiveness has to come from the person who was hurt and harmed. If there's to be reconciliation. It's another uncomfortable truth, isn't it? Because how many in here, you don't have to raise your hand to this one, but think about that. How many in here have been harmed by others? Do you remember their names? Do you remember what happened, or are the details fuzzy? You just feel that emotion and know that hurt. I think we all have experiences and stories like that. And again, it takes my breath away every time I realize it and hear it from God that forgiveness is good and possible. And even ordained and called for. Now, don't misunderstand me. if it's a toxic situation, if there's abuse or anything going on. This is the other part of reconciliation, right? There needs to be boundaries. That you can't just let, you know, harm continue to happen. But I think the question still remains. What does it look like to repair relationships? What are the steps that need to be taken for two people to come back together? Because how many in here were human again? I've forgotten. This will happen until the day we take our final breath. There will always be things, misunderstandings, miscommunications, unfortunate circumstances or events that give us another opportunity, which is saying it nicely, friends, which is giving us another opportunity to practice grace and forgiveness. And unfortunately, life is too complicated and complex for me to stand up here and say, in every single situation you find yourself in, this is what you have to do, step by step. But I know the first step is this. Both sides realize that there was harm done. Both sides have the grace and the humility to come back and say, I'm sorry, or at least I want to repair whatever had happened, even if I don't know what happened. And friends, for us, this is the continual call and grace that God gives us. And some days we have it more than others, but it is always present and it always there. So friends, this is my prayer for all of us. Myself included. That we might be able to walk humbly even when we mess up. Even when we make mistakes. Even when our priorities don't align. And there's hurt that happens. My hope and my prayer is that we can walk graciously because I know that that is how the kingdom is built. I know that that's how the love of God reigns in our hearts. I know that's how life looks better. Friends, I pray this for myself as much as I pray it for all of us together. May grace reign. May reconciliation happen. May we have the courage to forgive and the wisdom and the love to walk well and keep each other safe. Friends, may Christ be in our hearts so that the love of God may be known. Amen. Amen. Would you all pray with me? Gracious Lord, give us the courage to look inward. Give us the grace to be gentle. Lord, fill our hearts with love and help us walk with each other. Lord, whatever it is that comes to mind, may we not delay. May we seek forgiveness. May we extend it. Lord, if we're being honest, some days we don't even know how to take the first step or what word needs to be said. So Lord, help us. Help us figure that out. Because we know that there is life and that there is light and then there is joy when two people, when groups come back together. Lord, be with us and teach us. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Excuse me. Before my voice completely goes out, I invite you to stand and sing with us the next hymn. It'll be up on the screens or in your...
Friends, I'm going to demonstrate this a little bit now. I have transgressed and I have screwed up. Can I ask for your forgiveness? Thank you. Thank you to the tech team who deals with me coughing and completely losing my place and skipping over one of the parts of the service. And thank you for all of your forgiveness. Friends, this is the end of the service, and I would be remiss not to remember to remind us, how many of you have strong backs? Thank you for volunteering to help carry the pews out of the sanctuary. But friends, please raise your eyes for the benediction. May God bless you. May God keep you. May God lift you up and give you peace. Friends, no matter how difficult forgiveness, reconciliation may be, may we know what it means to walk that path. May the example of Christ give us an example for our own lives so that there will be peace on earth and all will be well. May go with God and God will go with you now until the end of all things. And all the people said, amen. Friends, go rest, enjoy your Sabbath. Today, our service is ended.